Good morning, everyone, and welcome. You are tuned into The Vitamin Shelf, the only health talk program anywhere dedicated to eradicating the devastating condition known as nutrophobia. Let me explain. Everyone wants to be healthy. Too many of us believe that drugs play some role in this noble pursuit. But here's a question that truly needs to be answered. Can any of you listening name me one drug that makes you healthy? Exactly my point. So if you want to be healthy, you need to tune out the medicine chest and tune in to the Vitamin Shelf. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Vitamin Shelf. I am your host, Dave Stouter, owner of Apple Health Foods in Redwood City, California. Thanks for being with us today. Hey, look, a quick reminder. Our frequent guest and good friend, Bill Sardi, a couple months ago has launched a Monday through Friday radio program out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I don't think you can pick it up here. I have to have a pretty good radio. But you can pick it up online on your smartphone. And it's called Bill Sardi's Health and Wealth Show. And those of you that have heard Bill Sardi, he does radio for Purity Products. He's obviously been on our show a lot. Brilliant guy. And his show is really great. It's very interesting to see Bill as captain of his own ship, if you will, rather than sort of, you know, doing like a scripted presentation for Purity or even being interviewed by me where, you know, I'm setting the questions and setting the direction. And every Wednesday, I am a guest on the program, as they call it, Health Warrior Wednesday. So the show is Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. And if you want to listen on the internet, the website is KLAV, as in victory, KLAV 1230 a.m. And that's the station, KLAV 1230. So you can listen KLAV 1230 a.m. And now, I have an Android. On my phone, I use the TuneIn app. T-U-N-E-I-N. My wife has an iPad. TuneIn works on the Apple stuff, too. So KLAV is on the TuneIn app, so you can listen then. But I would really like all of us here to support Bill. Listen to the show. Tell your friends. Spread it around. Do it by word of mouth. Do it by Facebook or Twitter, whatever you want to do. But the reason I say this is because I would probably say, to my knowledge, now they may exist, but a lot of the information that you hear on this program, the way that we can expose the myths about the pharmaceutical companies and tell you the truth about nutrition. And by the way, I have a feeling we're going to get into this in a few minutes, but I think I have a bad feeling that there's going to be some legislation coming up because they're really, you know, I say they, the evil wizards of bad nutrition, but there's been a lot of negative press about nutritional supplements. And I think maybe by now, everybody, let me use politics as an example real quick. Whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, everybody on the left, everybody on the right, everybody in the middle. So, whichever side you're on, are you stunned sometimes at what you read in the media? If you're part of a cause or a group, are you amazed at the mischaracterization of who you are and what you stand for by journalists? Maybe by famous journalists, people that should know better. You say, how could they say that? They didn't even look into this. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of advocacy journalism out there, and I suppose that's okay as long as we realize that. But I think sometimes we see, you know, professional people, doctors, you know, on TV, on a big network, talking about these studies, and you just say to yourself, well, they couldn't go on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, etc. They couldn't go on these stations and say this if it wasn't true. Well, yeah, they can, and yeah, they do. And in the world of science, you got to realize that if you're an MD or scientist, for the most part, when it comes to someone who's a reporter, you just stand up and say, hi, I'm Dave Stouter. I'm the head of human biology at the University of blah, blah, blah. And I just did a study that said that butter causes your nose to fall off. And you know, people, well, a new study out of the University of blah, blah, blah says, but I want to show you how these misrepresentations are used in the broader picture. So that's one thing I want to do today. But I have a personal story I want to relate to you. And I want to make sure that you know about one of my favorite products in the store. And we've talked about it from time to time on the program. But I want to get a little more in depth. So before we go any further, let's have our disclaimer so that none of you are inadvertently harmed by the information on this program. This is a public service announcement from your good friends at the FDA, the Fraud and Drug Administration. Many people assume that radio programs such as the Vitamin Shelf are safe and effective. Careful scientific analysis compels us to issue the following precautions, as many regular listeners have developed delusional behavior, such as people start behaving as if you can be healthy without medication, as if doctors are not deities, as if drugs cause disease rather than being cures, as if nutrition is healthy and drugs are dangerous. If you exhibit any of these delusions, please call your doctor right away and demand more medication. All right, a little personal story here because it contrasts what would happen if you go to a regular MD and what would happen if you use Mother Nature. And it also gives me a chance to talk about a very important dietary supplement. Now, Valerie Hall, who's a frequent guest on the program, she mentioned a couple of times in a radio interview how she dealt with a problem called frozen shoulder. And never really heard, I mean, I've heard of frozen shoulder, don't really know what it is. I just assume, like, shoulder doesn't move or something. I really didn't know. Now, I learned something about frozen shoulder in the last couple of weeks because it happened to me. And I don't even know exactly why. But essentially, frozen shoulder often occurs after an injury. And what happens is the synovial fluid in your shoulder starts sort of turning into saran wrap, as it was explained to me. And it kind of wraps up and locks your shoulder into place. So you can't move it. Very, very painful. So what do you do when you have frozen shoulder? You go to the doctor, and the doctor plays with it, and it's a pretty easy diagnosis. And they'll give you a cortisone shot, usually. And that shoulder will pretty much unfreeze almost right away. Your pain will be gone. A lot of your motion will come back, and there you go. Well, probably about a year later, you'll notice that you still do not have full range of motion on your shoulder. That, you know, it still hurts when you do this or that, and you go back to the doctor, and then the doctor will recommend surgery. And a lot of you know, when it comes to surgery on joints, it's somewhat of a toss-up. I mean, I met people with joint issues, and they had surgery, and they're just, like, amazed. They did a good job, they fixed it, and it's like a miracle. And then I've known plenty of people who've had surgery on their knees, their back, their shoulder, and it was never the same. But I just want to contrast that. So you have frozen shoulder, you get a cortisone shot, you get out of pain, you feel like it's getting better, and then you're headed for surgery within a year or so. That's the typical what happens with this. Now, as I tell you this story, I want to make a point that I would make all the time when we had a program on for a few months called The Road Less Traveled, where I would interview different practitioners. And, yeah, the radio show was trying to be a format for natural practitioners, but there was sort of a deeper thing that I was trying to get accomplished with that show, and it's still true today. A lot of us go to doctors when something serious happens, or when we're in pain, or when we're afraid. And a lot of times when you're afraid, when you're in pain, when you're scared, you don't make good decisions. Now, there are a lot of good practitioners in the area. I mean, Dr. John Neders. I do a program with him Friday from 6 to 7 in the morning right here on KESD called The Medicine Man, and he follows with The Balancing Point. I know he's doing some stuff on the weekend here on KEST. And there's lots of great practitioners out there. And let me suggest something to all of you, and let me suggest something that I think is a crucial investment. If you do not have a naturopath, an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, somebody that understands real health, somebody that can help you beyond the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies will give you, you need that relationship now, so that when you have an emergency, you have somebody who's got your back. Several years ago, and I've told the story, but these incredibly, attacks, I don't even want to call them headaches, because I don't think that's exactly what you would call them. It was like somebody snuck up behind me and it hit me in the back of the head with a baseball bat. And as it turned out, I went to see Dr. Prendergast, who ruled out cardiovascular problems. I went to see Dr. Curtis Turchin, who diagnosed me with I jammed my atlas, which is like some bone kind of under your chin. And I had occipital neuralgia. He worked on it for about 45 minutes, and these attacks never came back. I went into the neurologist at Kaiser, and it's a funny story. I'll tell it a different time, but it was sort of useless. But I thought back on it that if I had still been having these attacks daily, which I had, which Dr. Turchin stopped from happening, I probably would have submitted to the MRIs and all the this and that and painkillers and tests and really got myself into trouble for no reason. So I got frozen shoulder. I don't know why. I don't know how I injured it in the first place. My shoulder was a little sore for about a week, and then over like a two-day period, it went from getting worse to stuck at my side, and some of the worst pain I've ever had. Chronic pain, especially. There was a spot on my shoulder that if you just barely touched it with your finger, I'd holler. I went to see John Neders. He told me I had done something bad to my shoulder. He gave me some acupuncture, relieved a lot of the pain, and I told him I was going to go see Dr. Turchin again, and he said, good. And he said, just stay at home, keep your arm in one spot, let it rest, let the inflammation go down, go back to work. So I took his advice. And during this time, I did not take painkillers. I put DMSO on it. That was an arginine cream. I used the Marina Cody joint cream, which was great, by the way. I took lots of serrapeptase. I took COX-2 Tame by Jarro. And I managed pretty well. Perfect? No. But I managed pretty well. When I got to Dr. Turchin, that's when I got my diagnosis of frozen shoulder. So what he did was he sort of firmly but gently worked on it, didn't crack anything, just worked it loose for me, and told me to add bromelain to my regimen, said he thought I was doing the right thing, and gave me some simple exercises to do. Once he did that, almost right away, the motion in my shoulder began to come back, and the pain began to dissipate. So, it was pretty amazing to me, and now it's been a little over a week or so, and I've got about 90% of my shoulder back. I'm doing my exercises, my pain's gone away. So, one point I would like to make is that, now, and like I said, this was fairly severe pain, but I went to a natural practitioner who understood the body, and I knew what supplements to do to help manage the pain and inflammation and promote healing. So I did not get a cortisone shot, and I'm not on my way to an operation. Okay? Now, we're going to take a short break here in the Vitamin Shelf, and then I want to get in a little bit to one of my favorite supplements, serrapeptase. So don't go away. We'll be right back. It's really pretty simple. I have tried to make Apple Health Foods the place where I would want to buy my nutritional supplements. It's an independent store. We choose the supplements that go on the shelf based on the products themselves and how they work for our customers. And we use our considerable experience and knowledge to help you find the right supplements and get the most for your money and have an experience that moves your health forward. But I want you to know that I think one of the things that makes Apple Health Food special is information. We structure our store around trying to provide you with accurate, up-to-date, insightful information to help you make good decisions. It's that simple. Let me encourage you, we're going to launch some new projects very soon here at Apple Health Foods, and you're going to need to be a little more up on the social media things, and I say that to all of you, myself included. So I want you to get familiar with our website, applehealthfoods.net. I want you to get familiar with our radio program website, thevitaminshelf.net. I want you to get our free smartphone app, and you can go to your, however you buy your apps, your iPhone or your Android, and just search for The Vitamin Shelf, because we are going to launch some projects that is going to keep you in the know when it comes to health. And believe me, folks, you can tell by the media there's an information war out there. So if you have been listening to us on the radio, and we appreciate that, we want you to get a little deeper in your connection. So again, please get our free phone app. Check out our website. A lot of new things are happening, and we look forward to keeping you in the know. All right, welcome back, everyone. Now, I just told you my little story about frozen shoulder. And when I got the frozen shoulder, one of the things I did, not just to manage pain, but to speed up the healing, was I upped my doses of serrapeptase. Now, let me spell that for you. S-E-R-R-A-P-E-P-T-A-S-E, serrapeptase. Tell you what it is here in just a moment. I just saw a study come out, I guess it hit the media last week or so, that said that more women die from painkillers than cervical cancer and some other horrible disease combined. They just studied women. It's not like men don't die from them as well. More women died from painkillers than cervical cancer. Now think about that for a moment. Now, you might wonder, when I was going through about 4 or 5 days of really gnawing chronic pain, keeping me awake at night, why I would try to manage it with natural things and not just take an Advil or something like that or go to the doctor. Well, that's why. I don't even want to go down that road if I don't have to. Okay? If I have screaming agony, I'll go get a medication. But, you know, the other thing about it is my shoulder was in pain because it was injured. And I don't necessarily want the pain to completely go away, because right now I'm in virtually no pain. I get a little if I move it a certain way. So I know my shoulder's better. I'm not taking a painkiller to mask anything. So I know my arm's getting better. But anyway, there's a reason. More women die from painkillers than cervical cancer and some other horrible disease put together. These are not safe. These are toxins. And to get out of discomfort, we too easily buy into this. It's okay to take Tylenol, Tylenol PM, Advil, Aleve, and stronger. And if more women are dying from painkillers, what about just the addiction? What about the women that haven't perished yet from these things? They got addicted, maybe because they had a little arthritis in their knee or got frozen shoulder or this and that. These are not safe. But pain is one of the things that drives so many of us to medications. I mean, nobody wants to be in pain. You might have a job to do. You can't be walking around. I'll have to admit, I had to take a couple days off from work. Pain was too bad. I just had to, you know, kind of sit on the couch, take care of myself. But here's the thing. Let me tell you about serrapeptase. First of all, when it comes to pain, folks, I want you to, what's that little tachometer on a car that, if you have one that shows you the little, like, RPMs, like it idles around 2,000 and you step on the gas and the needle goes vroom, vroom, moves up, and when you're going way too fast, it's in the red. Okay. I want you to think of that like your little measure of inflammation in the body. And there's always a little inflammation going on as the body goes around and takes care of damaged tissue and things and gets rid of it. But, you know, we want that idle to be low, just like your car. Your car shouldn't be idling at 5,000. I think it's around 2,000. And what's going on in the world today with just all the stress we're under, the pollutants and toxins to which we're exposed, in many cases the way we eat and on, the inflammatory markers are high to begin with. Now, go ahead and get an injury. Get some arthritis. Sometimes the pain can be really intense and hard to manage. So number one, before you get an injury, before you get arthritis, you should be doing some basic things in the first place. Plenty of omega-3, I think, is one thing. And personally, I like what they used to do in Europe, you know, tablespoon of cod liver oil. Tablespoon of fish oil is what I do. Now, the equivalent of that's about 8 capsules. And, if, you know, don't believe me, just take your 8 capsules and poke them out and put them in a spoon. Plenty of vitamin D3, at least 10,000 units, very anti-inflammatory. And I like to take serrapeptase. Let me tell you a little bit about my history with serrapeptase. I don't even know how many years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 20. A unique little vitamin company had a product called Carpelton. And, you know, obviously by its name, you might imply that people should be using it for carpal tunnel syndrome. And I remember reading that vitamin B6 could be good for carpal tunnel syndrome because B6 helps the nerves. So this little supplement had a couple different forms of B6 and something I had never heard of called serrapeptase. But people, it was here at Apple Health Foods when I came, and I noticed it worked really, really well for people. And so I got a little interested in serrapeptase. Now, serrapeptase is an enzyme, and I might best describe it. I think it came from the silkworm.
To get out of its cocoon is what they use as an analog. In other words, they grow the enzyme. They don't take it out of silkworm. Now, so one of the first things that I realized was that this enzyme was good for
Pain, inflammation. And in reading on it, saw all kinds of things. I have a little list here from an article. Cardiovascular disease, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, lung problems, eye problems, runny nose and sinusitis problems, sports injuries, inflammation of any kind. Now, here's what's really great. I've been telling you on this program that a baby aspirin a day does not prevent mortal heart attacks. In fact, in the most recent study, it slightly increased them. I don't know that a baby aspirin increases heart attacks, but you'd think if it helped, you wouldn't get the study come out in the wrong direction. But what we know it does do is double the risk of macular degeneration. Now, serrapeptase, on the other hand, naturally reduces inflammation, keeps the blood thin and healthy, and the artery walls healthy. So I take a little serrapeptase for the same reason that doctors recommend a baby aspirin. But the great thing about serrapeptase, whenever we think about a painkiller, we're always worried because we know painkillers can screw up your stomach, some of them hurt your liver, some of them hurt your kidneys. And by the way, something I want everybody to know, almost all painkillers can raise blood pressure. Because of the use of ephedra back in the day in diet supplements, everybody always comes in, and no matter what supplement they want, everyone says, well, this won't hype me up, well, this won't raise my blood pressure. All the painkillers, every single one, aspirin on up, can raise your blood pressure. And they all interfere with enzymes that you need to repair your joints and cartilage. So when you take your leave and your Advil every day because of arthritis, yeah, you could say I'm just masking the pain and you hope you don't get the serious ill effects. Again, more women die from these painkillers than cervical cancer. But you're actually interfering with your joints. So, you know, yeah, do it today, you'll feel better, but what are you going to do in the meantime? The great thing about serrapeptase, I want you all to know, is that serrapeptase is an enzyme that basically you take it on an empty stomach, and it seeks out damaged proteins and tissues, and it reduces inflammation and helps tissue repair. So when you use serrapeptase for some kind of injury or problem, you're not just masking pain with something natural instead of a drug. You're actually helping the body do what it's trying to do, which is heal the tissue. Now, the other great thing about serrapeptase, and I'll tell you why. I talked to some vitamin reps. We sell a lot of serrapeptase at Apple Health Foods. Some stores don't even carry it. Now, the reason is, well, one thing, we're a little more forward-thinking. At our store, I like to think of us a little more like leaders than followers. And what I mean by that is, in many stores, and I used to be a sales rep, so I know this to be true, the stores were interested in carrying the things that sell. So if you would come in with something unique or interesting, because I used to be a vitamin sales rep, some stores were like, yeah, I don't know, no one's asking me for that. Well, I don't sell much of that. I don't want to try. And in some stores, if they saw something they felt was good for their customers, they would bring it into their store and do their best to educate their customers. Now, that's what we've always tried to do at Apple Health Foods. So, you know, if somebody comes along with something like serrapeptase, we don't say, oh, you know, it doesn't sell very much or nobody asks us for it. When we feel we have something valuable, and that's what we've done. We've told people what I'm telling you right now, and it's a big seller in our store. Here's the great thing about serrapeptase. Most of us, when we think of having a painkiller, in the back of our mind, we're a little nervous about taking too much of it. And if somebody ever said, here, take a couple of Tylenol, and if it doesn't help, take 20 or 30 a day, it doesn't matter. That would be terrible advice. You can do in your liver doing that. Serrapeptase, on the other hand, is quite safe, even in really high doses. And in the case of my frozen shoulder, and in other cases, I have used 12, 16 pills of the strong stuff a day for a few days. And it works wonders. Now, you don't necessarily need that many, but I really want to recommend serrapeptase. Many of you may want to take a couple a day just instead of something like a baby aspirin. Me, I'll hang my hat on Mother Nature over the pharmaceutical industry any day of the week. But for those of you that are dealing with pain, chronic pain issues, and you want to do something that actually helps, and you want to do something that won't harm you, let me recommend that you try serrapeptase. S-E-R-R-A-P-E-P-T-A-S-E. Tell you what, it only takes a few days for you to see what this stuff can do. And I think it's one of the most valuable dietary supplements out there because, you know, if all those women that perished unnecessarily because of painkillers, most of them could have been using serrapeptase, and I know that. All right, we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to shift our focus a little bit to the media. Now, I found this fascinating. They just came out with a study that showed that the antacid drugs, the proton pump inhibitors that are called PPIs, are associated with a higher risk of heart disease. That's right, these drugs lead to more heart disease. But the most interesting thing is why. When you take these PPI drugs, you raise an enzyme in your bloodstream, and this particular enzyme destroys nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is needed to keep your arteries not inflamed, healthy, and flexible. So when you knock down your nitric oxide, you increase your heart disease. Well, those of you familiar with Dr. Prendergast, Apple Health Foods, and L-arginine know that when you take L-arginine, you increase your nitric oxide and you prevent heart disease. So the key to heart disease is not cholesterol, it is arterial inflammation. And that's why we invite you to come to a CardioVision BioClip health screening. These are two simple tests, painless, easy to do, that tell you about your arterial health. They give you printouts that will give you a lot of good information. And so, we do this about once every 1 or 2 months. We invite you to come. It's only $50 for both screenings. Give us a call at 1-800-67-APPLE. Our next screening is Saturday, July 27th. It goes all day from 11 o'clock to 5, but you do need to make an appointment. Again, call 1-800-67-APPLE, 1-800-67-APPLE. All right, welcome back, everyone. This is the Vitamin Shelf. Thanks for being with us today. Make sure that you stay tuned to our 7 o'clock hour, where we interview experts in the field of health and nutrition. Now, one of the things that I talk a lot about is something called nutrophobia. And I forget exactly how I came up with the term, but I started noticing that so many of the people that I encountered in the store, and many of them were indeed people who came into the store and took a lot of nutritional supplements, and yet they still sort of operated from a nutrophobic stance. Now, I define nutrophobia as a condition where otherwise sensible people think that drugs are safe and nutritional supplements are dangerous. Now, here's a couple symptoms of nutrophobia. Where a person will take a statin drug, a blood pressure drug, and be fully aware of that the statin drug raises the risk of dementia, Parkinson's, diabetes, gastric problems, several kinds of cancer, liver damage, muscle damage. And yet, just because the doctor says, your cholesterol is 230, you need to take this, that somehow you just believe, with no evidence, that the doctor knows that that drug actually won't hurt you. And that the top six prescribed blood pressure medication all have renal failure or kidney failure as a possible effect. And yet, what would make a person feel comfortable taking that every day of their life? Something that could surely will impair your kidneys to some degree after a certain amount of time on the drug and could destroy the kidneys. But so many of us will take that comfortably. And yet, we're very reticent to take a dietary supplement, very reticent to try something new, very fearful. Will this interact with my drugs? Can I mix this with that? And doesn't it seem, am I really just out of the loop here? I mean, that's nutrophobia to me. If anybody thought it through properly and carefully, it should be the other way around. As long as you buy your dietary supplements from good companies and a legitimate retailer, because there is shady stuff out there on the internet. There's a lot of counterfeit products. There's a lot of products spiked with drugs. Besides just the relatively harmless products that are way overpriced and won't do anything for you. But if you're buying quality dietary supplements, you know, you have very little to fear. By any measure, poison control, deaths, the amount of deaths and problems with medications taken and prescribed properly are tremendous. Even the food supply. Dietary supplements, not at all. And yet, over-the-counter prescription drugs, taken properly, kill about 107,000 people a year, and that's the numbers from the drug companies. That's from the pharmaceutical industry, okay? So that's not exaggerated, fluffed-up numbers from the vitamin industry. That's probably conservative, tapped-down numbers from the pharmaceutical industry. Vitamins, supplements, even with the cowboys out there on the internet, virtually nothing. But we are comfortable with these medications, and we're afraid of nutrients. That, my friends, is nutrophobia. Now, nutrophobia, that you may not realize it, is spread mostly by doctors. Because you go to your doctor. Your doctor has degrees and went to school for X number of years. The doctor may have helped you through some rough times, has your trust, worked with you. You look at that doctor as someone who may be called upon to save your life someday. And that doctor is just shaking their head at you. What are you taking these vitamin supplements for? Don't you know they're unregulated? They're unproven. I think some of them are dangerous. And it's hard to believe that somebody that smart, that educated, that trained could be so foolish. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And it's not always their fault. That's how they're trained. The pharmaceutical industry has a lot of control over the dissemination and the spin of research. So physicians are making decisions based on poor information. So we can only shake our heads when they come up with such silly conclusions. It's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're evil. It's not because they're part of some conspiracy. They don't have the right information. They believe the stuff they get from the pharmaceutical industry. Now, I want you to think about something, and I'll just use a couple of recent examples. There was a recent study that came out. There's been a couple on fish oil. One said that in a big New England Journal study, big study, done very well. You know, no shenanigans, sort of, that said that fish oil of no cardiovascular benefit to diabetics. Gosh, I always suggest fish oil to diabetics. Gee, who knew? Well, it turns out that the study, they gave one capsule of a placebo to one group and one capsule of fish oil to the other group. And they saw no difference. So there you go. Well, a couple of problems with this study. One is, I don't know anybody who knows anything about fish oil that thinks one fish oil capsule is going to do anything for anybody. So, you know, I would agree with the study. I just said, with fish oil, take a tablespoon. That'll work. So they studied one capsule. They didn't see a difference. But it even goes a little deeper than that. There's another oil that's really good for, there's a couple of them that could be really good for heart disease. One of them would be olive oil. Olive oil is well known for its health benefits. So the placebo in this test was olive oil. So to the extent that one capsule of fish oil or one capsule of olive oil could do anybody any good, I totally understand why they measured no difference. Now, that study, just on logic, just you and I can understand that that study really doesn't give us any information and is pretty worthless. Let's take this recent study we've talked about claiming that fish oil increases the risk of prostate cancer. And when you read the study, and it was all about fish oil pills increase risk of prostate cancer, fish oil pills this, fish oil pills that. I told you, says right in the article. See, the assumption would be, when you hear that title, fish oil pills linked to a rise in prostate cancer, you figure they did a study where they gave one group of people fish oil pills, one group of people a placebo or nothing, and the fish oil pill group had more prostate cancer. Well, they didn't study people who took fish oil pills. They don't know for sure. I mean, chances are when you have, you know, 1,000 people, somebody's taking fish oil pills, but they didn't know if anybody or who took fish oil pills. They just measured omega-3 levels in men with prostate cancer and men without, and they found that there seemed to be a trend in the prostate cancer group for higher omega-3. But if you're raising your omega-3 by eating fish, which is full of contaminants and PCBs and cadmium and all these things known to cause cancer, by the way, or even low-quality fish oil pills, you might be doing the same thing, exposing yourself to rancid fats and all these contaminants, things known to cause cancer. But let's just take those two studies. Now, recently there's this guy named Paul Offit. He's a doctor that promotes vaccines. He's taken it upon himself. He's gotten a lot of publicity arguing with the people who don't think vaccines are terribly safe. So now he has a book out, Do You Believe in Magic or something, about nutritional supplements. And I've read some of his articles, and they're sad. If you knew the truth, you'd see how much disdain this man has for you, because this man thinks you're stupid. This man thinks he can say these ridiculous statements, many of them already unproven or just not factual. And you'll believe them because he's a doctor, and gosh, he has a book out, and gosh, he was on NPR, and he was on this news program. He thinks you're stupid. I mean, he makes fun of Linus Pauling, and it's kind of weird. This is what these people do. Here he documents the amazing brilliance of Linus Pauling, but then suddenly, when Linus Pauling says vitamin C is good for you, well, now he's a disgraced quack. He was suddenly brilliant, getting Nobel Prizes for his work on peace and probing molecular science in a way no one ever thought of before. But then he thought vitamin C was good for you, so he's obviously a disgraced quack, you know? Anyway, so there's this guy off it, and he's going around. But these two studies I just told you about, fish oil, somebody like this, a doctor, will write an article and he'll say, recently, two studies debunked that fish oil had any value. And you go, oh, wow. He'll quote, you know, the University of Cambridge just had a study that said fish oil had no benefit for diabetics. Recently, it was just shown that fish oil could increase the risk of prostate cancer. So he'll put that in an article. You know, and over the years, there's been, oh, I don't know, 15 or 20 of these nutrition is bad for you studies that have been thoroughly debunked. But I will see people, sometimes some of our representatives in Congress, or people like Dr. Offit here, the vaccine pusher, who will just, you know, come and list these studies, at, you know, and when you're reading them, you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Wow, there's six studies. It's, oh, beta-carotene increased the risk of cancer. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. And he wants you to believe, look, all of modern science, here's his basic take. All of modern science knows, they know. The studies are clear. The science is irrefutable. Nutrition isn't good for you. Supplements don't work. They're dangerous. There is a sneaky, powerful $20 billion a year vitamin industry that has emasculated the FDA. The FDA is powerless to tell us the truth. The FDA is powerless to take these horrible things off the market. The whole world of science knows better. And they don't understand why they just can't reach us. Well, it's not going to work, but here's what I fear. I just want you all to watch out. Usually, when this kind of consistent media hits the market, somebody's going to show up, somebody like, say, a Dick Durbin out of Chicago. Somebody's going to show up with a bill to restrict your health freedom, to do something bad to the natural supplement industry, which, by the way, is a big part of the only industry that really cares about health. That's the natural foods industry. All these other industries are talking about insurance and disease and medication and surgery. That's not health. We're the only industry that talks about health. This is what this program is about. Now, keep your eyes open, folks. And I don't know, you know, if you're a doctor, you get the benefit of the doubt just because you got that MD after your name. You know, most of the time, if I tried to go to a news program and refute Dr. Offit's things, they, well, who are you and what's your credential and did you go to college and what degrees do you have and where are your studies? But just because he's an MD, yeah, they just listen to him. I wonder, are you listening to him? Do you believe that? I mean, it plays on some pretty important things. I've talked about this before. Wouldn't it be nice? You don't really want to spend that money on vitamins, do you? You know, it's cutting into your coffee budget, or I have a coffee budget, by the way. Cutting into some of your other expenses. Wow, well, my doctor says they're worthless. Ooh, they could even be harmful. We all want our doctors to take care of us, kind of. We don't want to have to do it ourselves. We don't want to have to eat well and exercise and learn about this stuff ourselves and sort it all out. We just want to go to the doctor. Doctor says your numbers look good and pat you on the head. Or couple numbers don't look so good, and they give you a couple medications, and the numbers fall into line. That's what we want. That's what we ask for. So this nutrophobia plays in pretty well. You know, if we buy into it, then it takes a lot of responsibility off our shoulders. Let's just go to our doctors and get the right treatment. Yeah, I'm against that. I think it's part of what's killing us. I think nootrophobia is not just some cute little term that I coined, some clever little turn of a phrase. It's real. I see it hurting people. And people like this Dr. Paul Offit and all these people like this are spreading nootrophobia, and it's sad. And if I have anything to do with it, it won't hurt you. Don't go away. We'll be right back. It's really pretty simple. I have tried to make Apple Health Foods the place where I would want to buy my nutritional supplements. It's an independent store. We choose the supplements that go on the shelf based on the products themselves and how they work for our customers. And we use our considerable experience and knowledge to help you find the right supplements and get the most for your money and have an experience that moves your health forward. But I want you to know that I think one of the things that makes Apple Health Foods special is information. We structure our store around trying to provide you with accurate, up-to-date, insightful information to help you make good decisions. It's that simple. Let me encourage you. We're going to launch some new projects very soon here at Apple Health Foods. And you're going to need to be a little more up on the social media things. And I say that to all of you, myself included. So, I want you to get familiar with our website, applehealthfoods.net. I want you to get familiar with our radio program website, thevitaminshelf.net. I want you to get our free smartphone app, and you can go to your, however you buy your apps for your iPhone or your Android, and just search for The Vitamin Shelf, because we are going to launch some projects that is going to keep you in the know when it comes to health. And believe me, folks, you can tell by the media there's an information war out there. So if you have been listening to us on the radio, and we appreciate that, we want you to get a little deeper in your connection. So again, please get our free phone app. Check out our website. A lot of new things are happening, and we look forward to keeping you in the know. All right, everybody. Welcome back to The Vitamin Shelf. You might find this interesting. I got a book in front of me. I'll tell you the title here in just a second and what the book's about. But I'm going to ask you some questions, and you think of whether they're true and false. Okay. Most Americans are poorly nourished. Now, I guess you have to define that a little better because, you know, wherever you set the bar, some people will fall below it and above it. But, yeah, by and large, I think that's true. I look at all the sickness that we have, the cancer, the heart disease. I mean, we're not starving in the streets. We don't look like those commercials you see with the poor young children that don't have anything to eat and they're all skinny and in the third world countries. But are we, you know, if we turn around, do I think we're poorly nourished? Yeah, I think that's obvious. Look at the junk that most of us eat, by and large. Look at the whole population. Maybe out here in California, we have a great climate, a lot of vegetables, and we're outside a lot. We're a little more conscious of our bodies, perhaps. So maybe we're a little healthier. But look around the country. Yeah, I think so. Do you think everybody should have nutrition insurance? I think that's obvious. I don't see why we should be paltry on nutrition. Nutrition is what feeds the body and makes it work. Let's see. Most diseases are due to faulty diet that can be treated with nutritional methods. But gee, I think that's true. Even Andrew Weil on a recent CNN special said that of all the money that we spend on quote, the healthcare system, 75% of it is spent on diet and lifestyle preventable diseases. So, yes, that's obviously true. Modern processing methods and storage remove nutritive value from our food. I mean, that's a proven fact. Is that even conjecture anymore? So, are you with me on this? Do you agree with me so far? Diet is a major factor in behavior. I think that's really true. The lack of certain nutrients, we see it showing up with our kids with ADD, ADHD, anxiety, and things like that, all the sugar and the stimulants and the lack of key B vitamins. It's obvious. The soil depletion and the use of pesticides and chemical fertilizers result in food that is less safe and less nourishing. Yeah, I think that's true. What do you think? Yeah, I'd say that's true. How about this? You're in danger of being poisoned by ordinary food additives and preservatives. Yeah. You know, it's really comforting when they take one individual preservative and study it and for 6 months and say it doesn't hurt anybody. The recommended dietary allowances have been set too low. Well, I mean, again, I don't think that's really subject to much conjecture. They're set just above disease level. So here's the example I use. To me, like, your recommended daily allowance of oxygen would be kind of just enough to move around in a room without passing out. You want more than that. You want plenty of oxygen so you can breathe deeply and have robust health. So, yeah, I do think they're set too low. Under stress and in certain diseases, your need for nutrients is increased. We know stress depletes magnesium, B vitamin C. That's not even... So, yeah, I think that's true. What do you think? Supplements and health foods for everyone. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Good food for everyone, extra nutrition for everyone. Yeah, I think that's a real good idea. So let's see, natural vitamins are better than synthetic ones. Well, you know, vitamin E in particular, natural vitamin E has been shown to be 3 to 8 times as active as synthetic. That goes right on down the line. I'd say, yeah, that's basically true. Let's see. I'm just looking at this. Anyway, so let me stop. These things that I just discussed, these true-false questions, I think most of us would agree, maybe with certain caveats, that they're all true. This is from a book called The Vitamin Pushers, and it's in their chapter, How to Spot a Quack. So if someone says all those things to you, well, you should be able to spot them. They're a quack. You know, they want you not to trust your doctor. They're a quack. They say sugar is a deadly poison. They're a quack. You know, they, like I said, they say all these things that, you know, the additives are not good for you. Most of us agree with that. And yet, these people wrote a, how many pages is this damn book here? Excuse me. 500-page book exposing the quackery of vitamins. By the way, without one scientific reference. These were people back more like in the 80s, Stephen Barrett and Victor Herbert, who were two MDs that were, you know, crusaders against quackery, which means nutrition. Now, those things that I just read you, how to spot a vitamin pusher, especially now, 25 years from when this book was published, it's obvious those things are true. And yet these people, doctors, MDs, spokespeople for their industry, said that if people tell you that you're really not getting enough nutrition, if people tell you that additives and preservatives are bad for you, if people tell you that all these pesticides and fertilizers denature your food, and it's not so good for you, if people tell you that when you're under stress or have certain diseases, you need more nutrients, that's the sign of a vitamin pusher. Now, I'm sorry, but most of those statements are pretty self-evident, and I would imagine that if I could magically get all the listeners in front of me that could see me, and anybody who might listen to us on the web, on our archives at www.thevitaminshelf.net, most of us would be raising our hands that all those things I read to you are self-evident truths. Yet these people say if someone says that to you, it's a sign that they're a vitamin pusher. So now, again, Stephen Barrett is an MD. Victor Herbert is an MD. These are your doctors. These are the people you're supposed to trust. It's all these MDs that give you drugs that have been proven to cause more harm than good, and they continue to do it. It's these people who tell you you don't need nutrients. It's these people who, again, I have an ad from Crestor that says it's not proven to prevent heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes. That's one of those statin drugs. I have an ad from Boniva that says it does not prevent fractures in 9 out of 10 women. And these are the people that tell you that nutrients don't work, that nutrients are dangerous, that nutrients are bad for you. I want you to see who these people are. Some of them may actually be zealots. They may actually believe this. When you get all locked up in the world of modern medicine, and when you get exposed only to the pharmaceutical-approved science and outcomes, then you start feeling pretty sure of yourself. And it takes a very courageous person to have that many years of education and then actually come to the idea that they've been steered wrong and open up their minds a little bit. It takes a strong person. But my friends, one of the reasons I do this show is because, you know what, there are not a lot of voices right now telling you what I'm telling you. There's not a lot of people that are willing to speak up. There's not a lot of people that want to risk the wrath of the drug company. There's also not a lot of people in our industry that like, I know that when people come in this store and I talk to them about how unhealthy drugs and medications are, I make them feel uncomfortable. I don't mean to, but I know I do. I would probably maybe attract more people if I just, oh yes, take this wonderful supplement. But you see, I may irritate some people. I may get them thinking. I may make them a little uncomfortable. And it's not that I don't care, but I care more that they become healthy. And it's clear, it's plain as day, that taking drugs every day for your life is something you should avoid, if at all possible. And your doctor's not the one to decide if it's at all possible. They're the ones that have got, I forget if it's like 70% of us on medications now. 70% of us. That's scary. Remember, I want you to be dedicated, not medicated. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the 7 o'clock show. Don't go away.